Welcome to Epic Haunts. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. You can also follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Epic Haunts. Also follow Phil and Simon on YouTube. Phil, Epic Phil, Simon at Simon and Julie. Now, let's get back to the show.
Hello, Epic Haunt fans. Happy New Year. Have a wonderful 2023. This year is going to be epic. And one second. I'm going to introduce you first. And I'm with another guy.
Happy New Year, everybody. 2023 is going to be the year of haunt events. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Now, Get the beers ready. Yes.
And thank you for listening to us and stay with us this year because we've got some amazing episodes coming out. So subscribe to us on YouTube, Epic Haunts, and on all good podcast apps. Give us a follow and give us a review on there. As good as bad as you want. As Simon and I have said, Happy New Year for me. Be epic.
And stay spooky.
Welcome back to Epic Haunts, everybody. I am your host, Phil. Probably the one that has the most scariest face on this screen right now. And I can't do this on my own. So obviously my co-host is here with me again, Simon. Simon, how you been, mate?
I've not been too bad, mate. Having the Florida blues like we always do when you've had a couple of months off.
Oh, did you know I'm going to Tenerife soon?
Oh, shut up.
I'm getting a bit of sun. It's not Orlando, but it's still sun. So, and obviously you heard someone else laughing there. If you're not watching on YouTube, with us today is the food guru of Orlando, Florida.
Wow. John I'm not Sell. Sure that's fair. Thanks for having me.
So as you can tell, we're going to be talking Halloween Horror Nights again with a little twist this time. And not Tater Twist. Oh, man, I'm the man of puns today. We're going to be talking about the food and that at Halloween Horror Nights. And quite frankly, me and Simon are very big novices when it comes to the food. So we've brought, as I said, the food guru in himself to tell us about it. But before we get into it, John, I believe you're in Orlando right now, aren't you?
I am in Orlando probably... I'm in Kissimmee at a condo, probably where many of your listeners from the UK or one of the condo places usually try to book. I'm in one of those locations. Kind of not far off of 129 west of Walt Disney World.
That's the ideal spot.
Okay. So,
well, it's ideal, except when I had to cover Universal Orlando rope drop on Monday. That wasn't very ideal, but no. You know, that's okay.
It would have been good for Disney rope drops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was great. Well, that was the last day of Halloween Horror Nights, so we had, you know, the 70% off everything. Days.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Even I bought stuff.
Oh, I don't blame you. Going back full.
Fortunately, I have an extra bag, and I'm flying. I have an extra bag I can take, so I'm good.
That's all good. So let's go back to September and October. You was out for Halloween Horror Nights. When was you out, and how long did you stay for?
During Halloween Horror Nights season, I was there for, let's see, Halloween Horror Nights, 15th through the 24th in September.
Yeah, that's
just kind of count the Halloween Horror Nights nights. And then I went one night using my premiere pass the first week of October.
Fantastic. And I believe, was you there for the last night of Halloween Horror Nights as well?
31st. I was not in the park, but I was around everywhere, and I had people working and doing it.
So it was chaos. What did you think of the Chucky announcement?
I'm still processing the Chucky announcement, and then we combine that with the fact that we're closing three-fourths of Kids Zone starting in the middle of January. I'm trying to decide if those are related, coincidental, and why Universal is doing announcements at 8:30 p.m. Yes, 8:30 p.m. Florida time, you know, and hasn't. And now this is me being a bitter blogger for just a second. They didn't even send us a press release about the announcement for closing. They just posted on social media. So well, we don't even have any information.
I mentioned it to Phil on the previous episode. I think it was response to the event itself, personally. There was mixed reviews on the event.
Yeah.
I think it was a response to the event being not as thrilling as he expected it to be. They got good reviews, and they also got a lot of bad reviews. And this was trying to take not the shine away from the event, but still, look, this is what's coming next year. You up a little bit.
Press law. So, the theater was announced on Peacock, but not really announced on Peacock because they were having struggles with the event not happening. But then I also want to give them credit because they need a little more rating points for the Chucky show on USA Sci-Fi. So that they get another season renewal. So that those all may be connected.
Yeah, they probably are. So let's move on to your houses. Give us your top three, if you can.
Top three houses this year? Well, Dead Man's Pier was number one.
Okay.
And this is where it starts to get divisive, I thought Monsters Legends Collide was two, but remember, I got to go through it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And so it definitely got better as it. If you graded it on the first night where I did the RIP tour, it would probably be like fifth or sixth. But towards the end, it was possibly the best house.
Yeah, it was also. I don't think we mentioned this on a previous podcast. It was also awarded House of the Year by the Universal Creative and staff.
Yeah.
So. You can see, I saw a difference in the first one time I went through Monsters.
The first time I went through was not good at all. And then I'm probably going to go with the crowd and say Halloween is my third favorite house.
I wasn't expecting that one.
Probably. It doesn't really fit my personality, but you would have expected Weekend.
Well, I was expecting another original. But I do believe some of the originals did drop off at the end.
Yes.
Especially there's two that we won't mention, which actually might be mentioned in your worst Halloween Horror Nights now, Zed.
This one is unfair, but it's going to be it's going to be Hellblock Horror.
It's not unfair. That's pretty much it.
It's unfair because it's almost positive that is the one the IP dropped out.
Yeah.
For
the last... And so it's kind of like we're picking on them, considering they don't always have control over that. You know, I want to give them a little credit. And Spirit of the Coven would have been the lowest, but it improved in the October run through. When I went through it in October, it was far better. They solved a lot of the problems I've mentioned in other places.
Yeah, that's good to hear because they have a Spirit. It's a toss up between Spirits and Hellblock Horror, which one's everyone's worst.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you manage to catch the show before it went ghoulish at all?
Yeah, I saw Ghoulish several times.
What did you think?
I thought it was good. I'm probably I like the way they integrated the Weekend, but it was my standard criticism of HHN this year. And I've listened to your show about criticism of HHN, so this is a slightly different one. I think they had a lot of really, really good ideas, even with the Ghoulish show, but they don't take enough time to give the people the information to explain what they're doing. The storytelling wasn't good enough at the beginning. Like that kills Spirit of the Coven. If you don't have the full story, and there's about six sections in that story, if you've tracked the story, the house is not bad. Yeah. If you tracked it, and that was the criticism of the Monster's House, the story didn't make sense.
That's probably because they were doing two stories and one in Hollywood and obviously one in Orlando. Yeah. So,
yes. But the Ghoulish show, if you get the story, is really, really good. And it makes sense that the weekend comes in because you've died and you've gone into the afterlife and all these other things going on. But I don't think that was really well done. But Universal Creative would be the first ones to say to me, yes, John, but we have 5 minutes to tell the story in a house. Okay. We can only do so much. I'm like, yes, but I know, and this is me taking my world of being a clergy. If I have a 20-minute sermon and I take 15 minutes saying nothing, it doesn't matter if the last 5 minutes are important. Okay. Yeah, sure, I need to make sense. I need to make sense at the beginning. So you're like, this is why we should live this way. This is the point. I know I'm comparing preaching to HHN, but
no. Well, I'm hoping they
still the same idea.
They try to do it this year with the houses, and I'm hoping they elaborate into more the storytelling, what they were doing on their own personal podcast. But they need to let the universe know.
Need to release it before the event.
Yeah. Yeah, not through the event. That was silly. People have been gone, been and gone. They need to do it a couple of months before. They literally, when they make the announcement, they need to have that episode ready in the next day.
Yeah.
So you would suggest instead of trying to do those videos, which were good.
I don't mind the little trailer.
They just release a podcast.
Do a little trailer, but the next day, so after the trailer day, the next day, they release a Universal podcast, what gives you the story. And then that's up to us people to go out there and get it.
Right.
I mean, it's an easy thing to do. They can put it on YouTube. You know, they can share it on things like TikTok for the youngsters. So there's plenty of ways of getting it out there to people. And I think it just improves the event because then it's down to us as well as people who love the event to listen to these stories.
Right. And this is me being the ugly American for just a second. So be ready. When I was there on Halloween Monday, I'm rope dropping Studios, Florida. There was using the minister analogy, I had like a congregation of people listening to me at rope drop because they were showing up for the park and for Halloween Horror Nights. It was their first night, their first time in Studios, Florida, someone from Australia, someone from UK, and they knew nothing about the park, nothing about anything. And I'm like, I don't know how you're going to survive Halloween night at HHN. Okay, so there's only so much you can do. I mean, I was trying to tell them how to do Stay and Scream. And then I was trying to say, you know where Mel's Drive-In is? And they had no idea where Mel's Drive-In was. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. Okay. And so you've got to remember that my struggle is Universalist is trying to design houses that aren't targeted even towards us. The story.
I think the biggest problem was this year, they a lot of the newer fans to Halloween Horror Nights are brought in because of IPs on movies and that.
Yeah.
So they know the story to that. But when you're more original, you've got like 8 out of 10 houses, say originals. That is a struggle on its own because you've got to make more stories for people to learn about. Well, if we have 5 movies and 5's originals, it's easy.
Right.
Yeah. I sort of a thing that I didn't mention in our thing. I think the split, the IP... original split was, I think the 50-50 works better than the 60, was it 70-30 this year?
Well, then we got to debate what's technically an IP. Technically, there were 4. Technically,
but we'll all go into that debate. We'll be here for another whole hour.
Yeah. Phil and I have had some conversations like this. And well, you know, they don't really own it, but they do own it, but they sort of own it. No, they don't. Okay.
we'll do the usual thing. If they have to ask for permission,
yes.
It's an IP.
Yes.
So everything's an IP. Anyway, shall we move on to food? I'm getting a bit...
We can try.
John, before I go further, do you actually drink alcohol or not?
I'm not opposed to drinking alcohol, but I tend not to. But that's why...
Try any at the event?
I did not try any, but I did consult with a whole bunch of people in preparation.
That's
for this.
Good, right? So that'll be good. That will help me a bit more.
because that was my 30 minutes of preparation I did after finishing my food review at Beaches and Cream today.
Wow, 30 minutes. That's a lot more than what we do.
I know. That's my point. I'm a professional.
We try to be.
You try to be.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's Simon who tries to be. What are you talking about?
I'm on water tonight, so I'll definitely be professional.
Oh, wow.
I'm sharing the merch.
I know. I like that. So
if this glass does actually look familiar, that's from Halloween Horror Nights 22.
Well,
exact same glass as this year.
Yes.
The same design. It's 10 years old. And I haven't got the batteries in it, but it does still work.
Nice.
Fair enough. Right. Let's get into it.
Where do you want to start with food?
Got any questions, Simon?
Mainly, how much of it did you try? That's amazing.
Oh, I had every single thing. If it was a food item,
wow!
In City Walk, in the bakery cases. Hold, that's not true. There was one or two things in the bakery cases I didn't have, and I had every single item at the food tents. All of
okay. Them. Wow. Question, quick question: did you pay for it, or did you get it free?
See, that's a trick question. Most of those would fall into the in-between category.
I paid
for them, then I was reimbursed by the companies to write a review about it.
Well, that's brilliant. Because I'm just wondering, how much did it all cost?
I don't even want to think about how much it would all cost.
Oh God, it must. It must have been hitting the hundreds.
Right.
See, that's the only
reason. Trust me, that's why I
know. Because what puts me off the food at Halloween Horror Nights? Two things: the long lines and how expensive the food is.
Yes. The lines got a lot better in October than they were when we were there in September. In September, they were awful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I know. I think I can remember some of Craig's questions. So I don't want to pinch one of his. So
okay.
One for myself. Which would you have said was your best booth in total for drinks?
Best booth
and theming.
If we count theming and drinks,
yeah,
was the I always say it wrong, which is embarrassing. I'm in Florida right now. The De Los Muertos, the Day of the Dead booth at La Bamba. That was the best one. The people said to me that drink that was there was the best drink of all the drink offerings.
And what
that also came with. Let me check my notes if I can find it. the Burning Skull.
Yeah, my gosh.
Because there was a theme. There wasn't a theme drink at most. A different theme drink at most tents, weren't there?
Yes.
So I didn't. So I don't like these mixed drinks. The only drink I actually drank there was the Lacto Cooler. Really.
Yeah, and the best vegan item, and some people didn't know it was vegan, was the roasted sweet potato and mushroom street taco they had there. And then they also had tamales and spiced popcorn, and then they had a popsicle that I know sounds like it's not a big deal, but it actually was a really good treat when you're in Florida and it's 90 degrees for Halloween Horror Nights.
It would be. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask Craig Lucas's question in a second as well, so we know what to ask after. So it's basically, ask John Self from Mr. Craig Lucas himself. Right, he wants to know, He wants to know, this is his list. He wants your favorite drink at HHM, what's going to be a bit hard. Favorite savory food.
I can't help you there.
Favorite savory food, favorite dessert, and favorite HHM food of all time.
Wow.
He's put you
on. Good job, Craig, because the last one I have no clue. Okay, let's go. Based on polling people, I would go with the Burning Skull because I have people who just, they got the souvenir cup just so they could keep getting that. Because you guys know the souvenir cups were different shape depending on what booth you got them from, which was awkward. But the Burning Skull souvenir cup even looked the best.
Yeah, but I've got the beverage. That one up now.
So just to be fair about that, savory item would be, I would have gone with the Haunted Horseshoe, but there's some background here. You can find the Shoe on Pirates and Princesses. The horseshoe is a type of sandwich that was invented in Illinois, where I live most of the time. And it's an open-faced sandwich where you throw meat and a whole bunch of fries and a whole bunch of cheese and you clog your arteries. Yeah. I think that was probably the best option, but this goes back to Phil's point. I think that was $12.99 before discount. Now, it was a large amount of food, but if you're paying $13 US, why not just go to Finnegan's and spend $3 or $4 or $5 more? I struggle with that a little bit. The best sweet treat this year. I think you could choose. No, for me, most people will not agree with this. Was the major? Was the major sweets ice cream? The ice cream sandwich. Because this year's HHN food was all flavored by Asian cuisine because they brought in the chef from Shanghai. That's why Meats had all that gochujang. I always say it wrong. Gochujang sauce. And that was what was on the maggot corn dog. And they used an Asian style of ice cream and an Asian style of cookie. which I kind of missed from back when I lived back then. So I thought it was really good. It was only like $6. But the problem with that, the problem with the ice cream sandwich was
melting.
You needed to eat it. You needed it all together.
Yeah.
You couldn't eat it independently.
So like say, were you saying it with Asian Spice? It doesn't actually say that on when it was released. It just said a candy corn sugar cookie filled with sweet corn ice cream.
Yeah, but it's using sweet corn ice cream, which you got to remember, Asian ice cream uses corn and beets and peas and things like that, and they sweeten it up. So it's easy to see that.
Well, we get the mainly Indian ice creams over here.
Sorry, so, you're right. I need to say more Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese. Yeah. You're correct. I forget my target demographic I'm talking to.
No, that's fine.
Best dessert.
I think the most unique one would be, it wasn't that long ago. It was for, why am I blanking on it? Chainsaw Massacre, that food tent when they started doing that. It was the candied bacon on a stick. It was candied bacon on a stick. It's amazing how they kind of made candy and bacon and put it all together, and it made for a really incredible treat.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Being from England, I never get this candy and bacon thing.
I've started to embrace it, but somebody made me have it last year, and it was really, really good. If I had to pick something not going through all my notes, that's what I would go with off the top of my head, Craig. Sorry. Probably you can message me if you need a better answer, but that's the one I got off the top of my head.
No, that's fine.
I do have to say I think I would give an honorable mention to, you know, those cake in a jar things they've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jack and the Chance cake in the jars they did for HHN the year before, those were really, really good. And the price point wasn't as high. Now they're way higher. They're like $16 for this big fishbowl type jar.
Yeah, I noticed. We did notice the prices of the food have gone quite high, and we noticed that when they were putting them out. Because, like I said, the only thing I actually really tried was the pork skewer mac and cheese and the burnt beef ends back mac and cheese.
And the problem is, I think you and I talked about this briefly, was they've been doing that mac and cheese food tent pretty much year round, food truck year round, and that was the worst version they've done the whole time.
But I've never had it before, and I enjoyed it. But I had it the first week, and then I did notice the portion sizes did dramatically reduce the second week.
Yes.
That maggot dog. That.
Yep.
Would you? I know you talked about the sauce that was on it, but I saw a lot. That queue was always massive. Was it worth it? Because because corn dogs for us are not a normal thing, you know.
Now we're building on the non-Indian Asian idea. Those are Korean style corn dogs. Right, and so, which is only really a slight difference, but once you know the chef from Shanghai designed the menus, it all makes a whole lot more sense what they did. I thought the design was really good. Like, you guys went to Hollow Scream and you saw how they tried to, at SeaWorld, they tried to do really themed food. It wasn't very good, but they tried to do really highly themed food to match the event. That's what this maggot corn dog was. The corn dogs were good, but let's just be honest. If you're a U.S. citizen living in the Midwest in the U.S., it's just an average hot dog. You put some cheese and stuff inside of, and then you put some rice on the outside. It's really not that big a deal.
Okay. It just did baffle me. The queues were huge all the time. So
yeah, but the queues were huge all the time everywhere. But I think
there was some quiet queues. The bird beef ends was pretty quiet every time I walked past.
Yeah. One of the problems with, and this is the problem, think you guys haven't dealt with it very much, like Central Park crepes, that crepe stand that's, you know, near Mill. It develops a long line because they make every single thing to order. They were preparing those corn dogs to order. Now, obviously, they were already battered, but they were preparing them to order. So they were frying them each time. Like, visualize making a twisted tater, and you don't season it and then fry it until the person orders it. And you do that for every single one. That's going to make for a really long line. And so they kind of streamlined that a little bit in October. And I noticed the line wasn't as bad.
So we'll kind of move out of the... We've kind of gone through the thing. There was a lot of unique foods on City Walk as well?
Yes.
Did you try all them? Because one I was interested in, which I didn't get a chance to try, was the Black Magic Milkshake at Tucson. It looks amazing.
It's good. And please bear in mind, as we record this, I literally a few hours ago had the Walt Disney World Beaches and Cream Pumpkin Pie Shake for Thanksgiving here in the U.S.
Oh, put them up again, so really let's talk.
I don't want to spoil the article, but the article, I've written a paragraph,
John,
so far.
John, this episode won't be out until late December, mate. Do not worry.
Okay. In that article, it's titled, Is This Twosome or Is This Beaches and Cream? Because it's a jar, just like Twosome.
Yeah.
They put a piece of pumpkin pie on top of it, and it's got the rim around it. It may be a dollar less than a Twosome shake, but it was half as good.
Ah, see. So Twosome wins this one.
And so the Black Magic Milkshake.
It's just a combination of flavors. It just seems
It was good, and they got the pumpkin flavor right, which some of the people are making fun of me because I'm in the middle of U.S. pumpkin. Everything's pumpkin at Disney, and I'm getting paid to review it right now. And I'm like, you keep picking on the pumpkin stuff. I'm like, if you put pumpkin in the name, I want to be able to taste pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's pumpkin spice. I don't care if it's lame frozen pumpkin. I just want to be able to taste it. Spoiler for the Gideon's cookie that will be past time when this comes out, that just came out this month. I want to be able to taste it, and I can't always taste it. At least you could taste the pumpkin in the ice cream for that Twosome shake.
That's good.
If I put that up against the rest of their shakes, that would probably be a slightly above average shake at Twosome, which is still a high standard.
Yeah.
I'm a Sunday person at Twosome, but.
Yeah. So that's kind of, obviously, did you try, was there any donuts at
No. This I don't have to worry about, Phil, because these articles are out. Walt Disney World's having the same problem. Is they're announcing stuff and then it's not ready in the stores they're announcing it for. So we bloggers, because now I'm part of that world, we bloggers show up on the day you say it's available and it's not available.
That's not going to go that well.
That does not go well. We review you later. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you that, Universal and Disney. Voodoo is really bad about that because the Chucky Donut, which I'm sure we're going to see again next year, the Chucky Donut was supposed to be out in September. Then they changed it. It was going to be out the first week of October. And it still wasn't out the first week of October, by the way. I had it. It's kind of a basic donut. It wasn't anything special. They had that Trail Mix-a-Lot donut they inserted for Chucky. That one was really good. It's basically anything we can throw on top of a donut and cover it with chocolate. You know, pretzels, M&Ms, peanuts, chocolate chips. It actually worked. It actually was good. And then they brought back their Dashing Pumpkin from last year, which was their pumpkin cream donut. But it's okay. But I don't think I would spend $3 for that. I mean, there's donuts of Voodoo I would spend $3 for, $3 US, and not feel bad about, but that one's not one of them.
Not a problem.
I think that's really the. I'll tell you really what, the only thing with Voodoo.
One more thing about food. I don't know if you did it. You probably didn't. Scare back to dining.
I did not, and this is where I get to make fun of you guys. I think I met. Messaged Phil and said this when he booked it. Yeah. I said, hey, there's a reason the food blogger hasn't booked that yet, because now I had three people in there working the first night, working in air quotes, doing it. And they told me everything I expected. Now, Phil's experience is far worse than most people's experience. I get that. Okay. But the food just was okay.
I heard people went
to school dinners.
Some people went to last weekend and they said the favorite food out of all of it was a Caesar
salad.
That's correct.
Something that seriously needs to be looked at. Either don't bring Scurry Back to Dining back or step the game up a little bit more. So,
well, I'm anxious to see how Grinch Breakfast goes because Grinch Breakfast is back for Grinchmas this year. And that's really their first really good breakfast first good character meal they really do well. Because right. character dining has always been kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. Is that in Islands?
That is in Islands in Circus McGurkus.
Yeah.
And they've traditionally done it well.
But the thing is, that's been done before in that location. So that's why I'll get a benefit of a doubt with Scrobat to dining. It was never done at Louis before. But at least if you just did Louis food, the pizzas and the meatball sub were great anyway for me.
But then you can't charge $55.
No. Well, they did.
I would charge $55 anyway.
Right.
But they did anyway. Sorry. So
for those of you missing that, it was $55 for the... Because even when we used to have, because I did this a couple times, the Marvel character dining over at Cafe 4, which was 50 US. So I would assume with inflation, we're talking about basically the same thing. It was Cafe 4's food with the pizza and the subs, and then they would add some other things to it. That's what I anticipated them doing at Louis. And they went a slightly different direction, which I think was a good idea. It just didn't work.
Yeah, but so I mean, I wouldn't have had much more complaints if they actually did that, like they did at Monster Cafe. When they had it Monster Cafe, they did the Monster Cafe food, but in the atmosphere. If they did the Louis food and added more Scare Actors, it would have worked.
Uh-huh. Right.
The basic thing, when you hear the word, for me, when you hear Scare Actor dining, or even the word dining, straight away it's food. The Scare Actors are the...
Well, I have a question. Taking over your podcast for a second.
No, that's fine.
Do you think the biggest problem with character dining was the fact that they don't have any decent IPs to work with except to do that? Like when you had Killer Clowns, it was really easy.
Well, why?
They're awesome.
When I did it, there was Sam for Trick or Treat.
Uh-huh.
It was 2017. So there was Sam. There was a lot of generic actors. There was Purge actors. But there was at least, I'd say, well, probably 20 actors walking around interacting.
Yeah,
an original fairness, guy.
In fairness, Monsters is a bigger space. You can put 20 in there. Louis wasn't as big.
Yeah, they could put more than three.
Was it three? It was three, wasn't it?
It was four. You had four. There was only three when we were there.
Yeah. We had Michael Myers at Ice Stand. You had the mummy over in his section. Walking around, you had a witch from Spirit of the Coven, you had a child from Sweet Revenge, and you had the Mask Maker from Supercarpers.
By the way, she was awesome. I just want to say that the Mask Maker woman was brilliant.
Yes. This is one of my big, and I'm picking on Universal inappropriately. I know that if you believe the rumors, and I will defer to Simon at this point because he's going to be more connected about this than me. If you believe the rumors that Chupacabra House has been in the works or been on the cutting room floor 8 or 9 times in the last 15 years, if you believe that, they've really wanted to do this. And the story they told was fabulous. And the money they put into those puppets and everything, it's just the beginning of it didn't work well enough because they were trying to lure you in with, oh, it's all going to be fine. And don't worry, it'll be fine. The standard Universal, everything will be great. And then something goes wrong.
Yeah,
and but
they rushed the first bit.
Yeah, if the scare actors had been given more time, and I'll quote my friend Seth Kubersky, who might know something unofficially about Universal Orlando. He says he's very frustrated with the fact that Universal has turned scare actors into human animatronics.
Yeah, we've said that the need,
right,
especially the Pumpkin Lord, that really did disappoint me this year. Yeah. Give faith. You've got faith in these actors to do the acting. Give faith to actually do the job. Give them the microphone. I know Chance and Jack are kind of the pinnacles when it comes to the acting as well because they've been there for years. But there's other scare actors who want to do that, but they're just not being given the chance anymore. It's all auto cues. Even the Conjure the Dark. It was an audio cue. It wasn't someone speaking.
Yep. Agreed.
So give the actors back the voice because they can do it in a scare zone, but they're just like, obviously we couldn't hear him because it was too loud from our experience. So if they were trying to talk to you, you couldn't really hear him that well.
Right.
But if you've got,
you guys did Hollow Scream too, which is obviously not as good of an event, but the actors are given way more freedom because there's way less script. Let's just be honest, there's way less script there. And so it makes it easier for that.
Yeah. But it also makes it different. every time you go through, example, if you went through the Pumpkin Lord again, one day he could completely talk to you, call you, everything, yes. But then he could just go and say, one day he just completely blank you and deliberately blank you, say, wait, yeah. I spoke to you yesterday, you're already my minion, go away. You know what I mean? Just try and...
Yeah, I lost interest as that zone went along. Well, let me circle back here. Since we know we're getting Chucky in 2023, based on the TV show, and the food tent that was sort of in the Springfield area was a Chucky food tent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You guys didn't try any of that food. We probably should mention that since we know we're getting Chucky next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to...
a version of that food tent.
John, we're just going to go a quick commercial break because you're going to learn I don't pay for Zoom anymore because it's a con, and we'll be back right after this commercial break.
That sounds good.
Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube. You can also follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Epic Haunts. Also follow Phil and Simon on YouTube. Phil, Epic Phil, Simon at Simon and Julie. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back from that commercial break, as I call it. Other words, I'm cheap. As John was alluding to, we are now going to go to the Chucky booth, what actually makes sense. So, John, go away with it, mate. Go away with it.
Chucky booth had three food items and had one, what do they call it, a Bloody Valentine drink?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Dirty Valentine. Sorry, it was a Dirty Valentine. It was grenadine, New Amsterdam vodka, and Sprite.
Ooh.
I heard mixed reviews about that. And since I'm not all about vodka.
Yeah,
and since it had vodka in it, I definitely couldn't try it. And just to give you a spoiler alert, I'm going to when we finish this in a few minutes, I'm going to a Frontera Cochina Disney Springs to a tequila tasting. I know I can only have one or two sips or I can't drive home. Vodka's the same way. So there's no way I was going to do that. Mm. But I think if I had to mention another food item that was really, really good that didn't get credit was the Chili Lee Ray there. They made a chili. It was vegan with quinoa. The only thing it was missing was like some naan bread or something to kind of dip in it. It was really good and it was legit.
So was it just the chili then? Was it just chili? There was nothing with it? No rice?
It was just chili. No. Well, there was some quinoa in there, which is sort of like rice, but and it was legitimately spicy, not theme park spicy. It was legitimate, you know, spice. The criticism of my vegan friends was, it's too spicy. I'm like, I get that, but you know, it's vegan chili. So
yeah. So shall we mention the burger that shall not be named?
Oh, it actually is a good burger. You mean the Good Guys burger?
Yeah.
The Good Guys burger is one of those combinations that makes no sense whatsoever. The Good Guys burger was a standard, well done burger patty, basically in two donut buns. Donuts is buns with cheddar cheese in there and then red frosting. And really, it was Fruit Loops. I'm not sure it was officially Fruit Loops, but it was Fruit Loops cereal.
Oh, so we'll call it Fruit Spins.
Yes.
I mean, the non-sweeter version.
I'm not sure why what it was, but shockingly enough, I even have friends who got the recipe and made it, and they made it together. And if you like, I wrote in the review, if you have it all the ingredients together, it works. But if you just get cheese and burger, it was if you just got red icing for the blood and bun, it was terrible. Yeah. So I think it was for an HHN event, I thought it was really, really good. One of the misses they had, which surprised me, was the one and play beignet.
Yeah.
Where they used the hot Nashville chicken that they've been using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They started using when you guys were banned from coming near our country. They started using it on everything.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work very well. I mean, you guys missed. You went to Mardi Gras. Did you guys have the crab Creole?
No, I didn't get a chance. I tried a lot of the other stuff, but I didn't really find them ones because there wasn't as many food booths there as it was at HHN. But
correct.
I was only there for a week, and most of the time it was like in and out because it was a lot cooler. Because easier to walk around.
Right. We expected it to be kind of a beignet like that, but the texture didn't really come together. And I thought the price point was a little bit high. I think it was $11.99 US, whereas the Good Guy Burger was $10.99.
Yeah.
Just for perspective.
I don't think that's a bad price. For that Good Guy Burger, that price, I don't think that's a bad price.
No, it's not a bad price at all. No. But my only criticism would be if you went to the monster theme tent that was in Kid Zone where they had the grilled garlic Philly cheese steak sandwich.
Yeah. The open sandwich was it. Yeah.
It's
one of the weird ones.
Right. But it also came with curly fries and it was $10.99.
Oh, that's a bad deal.
So, right. So, but I mean, my only point is if we already have a Chucky announcement and we've been getting that Chucky food booth, photo op, and we got a Chucky donut, and we got a Chucky cake pop, which actually wasn't bad. We didn't mention that.
Yeah, that's thrown in our faces, right? That must be joyful.
Yes. when that press release hit, when I got done reviewing stuff at Disney and that press release hit my box, I went, how did I not see this coming?
Yeah. Well, they actually need our merchandise as well.
Yes.
And that merchandise.
They've done that a couple of years where the Chucky merchandise never goes on sale, which should have also been a huge clue.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But Universal, we stirred it in the face. We all completely missed it, and you made us all look like idiots.
Well played.
Thanks, Universal.
Yeah, and then announce it on All Hallows Eve while technically your last event is still going on.
Yeah.
Your last night, it started
was Tuesday and Scream, wasn't it, when they announced it? So they technically hadn't started yet. So,
yeah.
It was a clever move, though. It got the buzz going. Everyone in the event. It would be like in soccer when two teams are playing, got to win like the league, and it gets through on the radio on your phones and that, and all of a sudden you start hearing the murmurings around the stadium. That goal's gone in.
Yeah,
it must have been so exciting to be in the park at that time.
It would have been.
Yep. Yeah,
but I don't think we'll ever close out Halloween. Halloween All Nights, because it's far too expensive because of half term over here in England. Yeah. Holiday prices go through the roof.
That's true.
Very expensive. So
yeah, because your pricing's a little bit different. But here, even to do it, you'd have to buy like a third level of pass, and still that becomes pretty cost inefficient quickly.
Yeah.
I mean,
it does. Yeah, especially if you're a person who needs Express as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I did express this year, and I'm kind of like, no, that's only because I was there only in September, but I paid for the September Rush of Fear Express, which was $300. I mean, it wasn't that bad.
$412, I think it was.
Was that what it was with tax?
Yeah, because I think it was $129 for the Rush of Fear, and then I had to pay, and then I paid $299 to upgrade it while I was at university.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's $239. $439, sorry. There we go.
That's brilliant. I wanted to hear that. Woke me up.
Was there anything else I could think of?
What would you say was your favourite food booth, though? As in, Simon said it earlier, but what would you say was the best themed one?
Oh, the...
I
can defer to Simon on this because he's going to know the background better than me because this doesn't fall in my category. The Meat Locker.
Yeah, Meaty Meat.
Sting Alley.
Yeah.
Was the far best. And I know that was a callback from three different times that they've kind of used that at least.
Yeah, it's kind of an homage to Mike Aiello as well, because he was Meaty Meats for a while. So actually being at the event anymore, and he's got his work at Epic. Yeah. Like a lot of people have raved about that fried zombie brain, and I don't understand why.
The fried zombie brains were, well...
Because for the UK, in the UK, we don't really think of cauliflower as like a steak with seasoning on being a real thing. But a lot of people said it was really nice, really well seasoned, well tasty, and cut well. Mm-hmm. But
I would use a different analogy that my friend... Shelby Castle, who runs Universal Orlando Vegan, so obviously she knows what she's talking about Universal food. She's the first one who really said it this simply to me. For those of us who are non-vegans, we think of chicken, just standard chicken. I know we eat a lot more chicken here in the U.S. than you guys do, but just standard chicken. it's just a palate to add other spices and stuff to.
Right. Okay.
That's what chicken is. Okay. Cauliflower is just a palate for big. As Shelby said to me, she said,
that all makes sense.
Vegans don't even like cauliflower plain. Okay.
Right.
And yeah. So I'm like, because if I just took a chicken, didn't season it at all, didn't season the pan, and just kind of grilled it a little bit and handed it to you and put it on a plate, you'd be like, thanks.
Like California, cauliflower accepts whatever flavor you stick in it.
Yes.
So, right. Yeah. Now it makes sense.
Correctly.
Yeah. And, so whatever the flavor was, worked.
Right. So I think it does a disservice to the cauliflower for vegans to call it cauliflower steak. I know a lot of places do that. It's just
cauliflower.
But you don't want to call it chicken because chicken doesn't sell. But say, if you think of it that way, but that's what they did. They created a chicken dish with the gochujang sauce and then a cauliflower dish with it because it's the same preparation.
Yeah, right. Well, that clears up my thought about why. Okay.
But just to clarify, the two sweet items, or the three sweet items, mm-hmm. they brought the gummy hearts back, and those are a nice novelty, but they were just okay. The two sweet items were nuts. Those were not good. The packaging was great, but they
I think that's what it was mainly there for, really. It was there for the Instagram and that kind of people.
Yeah, so, I love them people.
You were going to say something?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Phil?
It's a bit different. Overall, what would you rate the food for Halloween Horror Nights out of 10 this year? Give it a lot. What...
For theme, okay, I got two answers to this question. For theme park food festival food. Yeah, so we're including Epcot, Mardi Gras, all that. Counting theming. 6.5 or 7.
Is that good or bad, though? Because I don't really eat the food in the theme parks.
Well, if you'd be a 9 or a 10, think of this as a 7. Okay, now that I've said it that loud, I'd make it a 7. Having said that, if we compare HHN food to HHN food, this was the best ever.
Yeah,
but in fairness,
it looks like they went out for more.
Right. If in fairness, if we go back 10 years, HHN food is, how do I say this nicely without being rude, a joke.
10 years ago, I think, was my first twisted tater with salt and vinegar acid on it.
Right.
Literally, that actually burnt the inside of my mouth. That's how much seasoning you used to put on.
But if you compare apples to apples, if you compare HHN food to Mardi Gras food,
I'd say Mardi Gras wins.
Mardi Gras easily wins. Yeah, easily wins. But this food would at least have been considered, once you figure in theming, at least above average for a Mardi Gras.
Yeah. It's nice to see him actually expanding the food.
Yes.
It's a lot of revenue for him as well.
Because mm-hmm.
look at the prices, and the queues are, like you said, the queues are huge.
The queues were ridiculous.
So they must be.
That's a totally valid criticism. Yeah.
Because I remember years ago when you used to be a twisted tater, you used to be able to just walk up, grab one, and away you go. And now you're going to spend 35, 40 minutes to get a potato on a stick.
Yes. I mean, we were telling people, do your stay and scream, knock out your 2 or 3 houses after your stay and scream, and then immediately hit the food tents.
Yeah.
Guide people on how to get food during an event. Now, granted, here's the problem, and this is a criticism of Universal Studios Florida. When you close the crepe stand and you close Lombard's and you close a few other places, you're left with, well, I'll be nice, average theme park food everywhere else besides the food tents.
Yeah.
Because Mel's is average, Richter's is average, Louis's is average. You don't have anything creative at Monsters. Fast Food Boulevard is slightly above average.
Yeah, and that does seem to be quite busy as well during Halloween.
Yes.
So
air conditioned.
Yes, definitely. Definitely needed it in September. I don't know what October was like, but September was relentless.
It was still pretty hot the first week of October.
Oh. So I'm glad it didn't. It weren't just us that got it all then. Because
no,
that was a hot, hot, very hot month. So
but we had 90. We had 90s here in Florida yesterday. 90s Fahrenheit. Just to give you perspective.
That's basically November.
I think we're currently. Yes. I think my current temperature outside is 52. So
yep.
But nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Gloves are coming out tomorrow, I think.
Yes.
That's how cold it's getting over here.
So before we go, though, just one more question. If you could improve on any of the type of foods for Halloween Horror Nights next year, what would you advise Universal? I think pricing.
I don't know that we're going to win the pricing currently based on what I'm seeing going on at SeaWorld and Walt Disney World, but I like your point. This is just me being a blogger, and I know it annoyed people who don't have any skin in the game. They opened the event with many of the booths being open during the day. And then after the first week or two, they didn't. If it were me, I would do kind of like that scene they did with Mardi Gras where they had like a rotating tent and have that rotating tent open during the day. I mean, it could be easy stuff like the chance PB&J, no chance in hell thing, what they've done 2 years in a row. They could have basic burgers. But and maybe I'm doing Universal's job for them, I think if they had some of the HHN food and they rotated around, people would see that, hey, maybe you're not into every single house and maybe you're not every single scare zone, but there's food and there's shows and there's merch and there's other things you can do. And if you buy a multi-night ticket, once you enter the world of multi-night tickets, HHN becomes an incredibly good value.
Well, I don't get something I think they missed this year. You remember last Christmas when they did that? Is it Pinewood Village, whatever it was called, for Christmas on City Walk?
I'm going to enjoy the fact that you've told me this is going to come out. Guess what they did in 2021 that might be happening again in 2022? Yes.
Pinewood Village again?
Yes, maybe.
But why don't they do something like that for Halloween Horror Nights and City Walk, the merchandise and the food? There's people who are too scared to go to the event, but would want to try the foods and that. And I just feel like they're missing out on this.
They're going to say that was the point of Dead Coconut Club.
Yeah, but they didn't really advertise it very well.
Sorry, those of you watching this to YouTube, well. I agree.
Dead Coconut, where it is as well, it's out of the way. I'm just thinking right in front of, what's it called? The Universal Shop and NBC Sports Bar and Grill. That little area there is perfect for loads of them booths themed. And it may get more people into Halloween Horror Nights as well, because I'm like, well, this is pretty cool. Let's go and see what the actual events are.
Merchandise carts can be moved, can't they? They're actually not.
Yes, they can. The merchandise carts are not a problem. With this plan, if I'm sitting with Universal and talking, they're going to say this. They're going to not say this, but I'm going to know what they mean.
Well,
that's a really good idea, Phil. But you know, during September and October, we sell out the second floor at City Walk, and we sometimes close some other sections in City Walk. And if we do that, then we have no place for people to go.
You're
going to correctly respond, Phil, with, I thought this was a theme park, not a corporate sellout. And they're going to say, that sounds great. You want to pay twice as much next year?
And I will turn around and say, well, keep Islands of Adventure open a lot later, please. And then they're going to say staff. And they're going to say, but the staff have to go to Halloween Horror Nights.
That's so a whole different conversation. Yes, exactly. It's kind of a no-win scenario. But I think your best argument is the hours staying open later is they could probably do that and they've chosen not to.
Well, we can see in the future with the Universal College plan, what's coming more like Disney's now.
Yes.
They're going to have more staff and they may be able to look into these things at that point.
Right.
Fingers crossed. So,
yep.
More hours, more roller coaster time. Especially at nighttime Islands, because Islands is beautiful at night.
I really enjoyed Islands.
Because that kind of does disappoint me with Universal. They've got that massive lighting package for Islands of Adventure, and it's only open, 3 months of the year late?
Yeah, well, I did it in December. When it's dark enough
to appreciate it. So,
yes.
Unfortunately, Universal, if you are listening, do us a favor, open up a little bit later. show the people what Islands looks like, what you want it to look like at night.
Yeah.
Because during the day, it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. The best parts of going there during the winter holidays is,
yes,
so you know it has to be open later with the time change and all the other stuff, and so it works out really well.
Yeah, it just looks stunning. Is there any more questions, Simon?
No, I answered all my questions.
Anything else you want to quickly bring up, John, before?
I can't think of anything right now. I'm just looking at the clock, fantastic. So I make sure I make it to my time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so we'll that was fantastic. Anyway. Thank you for all that food and knowledge, mate.
No problem. You're more than welcome.
I hope to bring you back on next year when we find out about food as well, before the event.
That sounds good.
That sounds like a better idea as well. And then we can talk about it and what you're looking forward to and if there's anything new to it. So is there anything you want to drop your Twitter handle, where you actually do your blogs as well?
Okay. Easiest way to find me is as a gray-haired old man is on Twitter at Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, John, because I spell John with J-O-N, because H's are ooh, self, S-E-L-F, on Twitter. And this may change by the time this comes out, all of this, but I am currently writing for PiratesandPrincesses.net, Mouse Dining, and Universal Family Vacations.
Okay. Is there anybody else you could be moving over to? Could be the time this comes
out. I don't want to mention yet, but will if there is a change, there'll be a little thing coming.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a hint.
There are three emails that are looking in my box right now of other offers, and I'm not sure if those conflict or don't conflict.
Okay, well, I will become your agent.
Okay,
fair enough.
You work that out, because I'm basically unemployed at the moment.
Okay, Simon, where can people find us on the socials?
They can find us very simply, Epic Haunts on all socials: Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.
Yes, TikTok. What I do use once in a while. I try to keep him with the kids.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
And I'm too old for TikTok.
That is pretty much it. Yet again, John, thank you very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Your knowledge is so useful and so great out there for all of us who don't want to eat the food, even though I should.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm fat. It was nice meeting. Yet again, it was nice meeting you in September.
Good to see you. Fun.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's pretty much it. So see you on the next episode, guys, in a fortnight. For me, be epic.
And for me, stay spooky.